Lord, thank you so much, O God, that Jesus came for it, to become one of us, to become human. Not only to become human, O God, but He lived among us. And He showed your glory. Not only He showed, not only does He show His glory, He invites each and every one of us to Himself. And Lord, we are so thankful that You became a man. You want to reach each and every one of us where we are. Even in the midst of chaos and fear and pain and all those things that we experience in this world, You are in the midst of all of them. And today, as we look at the story behind Christmas, Lord, we ask, O God, that You give us wisdom and revelation regarding the story behind the Christmas. Lord, we thank You for giving us this story of Christmas. And may we understand what it means for each and every one of us. We thank You, we praise You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, John described the story that we just read in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. But let me zoom in verse 14, if you have your Bibles with you. I want you to go back to our text today and zoom in and look at verse 14 and see how John described the story behind Christmas. Let me read from NIV. Verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." As I said, the story that I am talking about is a story where the Bible talks about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and the journey of Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem on their first Christmas morning. You know, without this verse that we just read, the rest of the story has no meaning. If we did not know that God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, did not come one day to become man, to become human flesh, in order to save us from our sins, we did not know, or we did not even understand the story of Christmas. We can just say, oh, that's one of the stories that we hear every Christmas or every December. John 1:14 tells us what really happened 2,000 years ago and what it means for us today. I remember the story of a young soldier who promised his wife and young son because he would be deployed during the World War II. He said, "I will be back soon." 4 years had passed and the fighting went by. And the young mother would show her boy a picture of the soldier, his father, and say, "See, that's your daddy. One day he's going to come home." But in reality, he was not sure, or she was not sure what to expect. One morning, the boy said, "Mommy, wouldn't it be great if daddy would just step out of the picture frame?" You know, in a sense, that's what God did 2,000 years ago. As part of his eternal plan, he stepped out of heaven and became so that you and I can look at Jesus and say, that is what God looks like. Amen? That is what we're going to look at today, the story behind the story. This passage that we read today reveals to us four realities. Four realities that other people in the world distort, and other men in the world does not believe in, but we as Christians, we as believers in Jesus Christ, believe in these four great realities or great certainties about the birth of Jesus Christ. And let me talk to you about those realities today. The first reality is this. Jesus became human. The Bible says the Word became flesh. And if you connect that to verse 1, in verse 1 it says, in the beginning, next slide. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does the Scripture say? The Word that always was now became a temporal event at the point of history. The Word that was God, the Bible says, now became a flesh, became a man. Therefore, he is saying, this Word that became flesh existed as a human being. You know, we believe that Jesus became a man. But he is not just became a man, he is also God who existed from the beginning. So what the Scripture is saying is that God became Jesus of Nazareth. He came down from heaven, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we remember and we celebrate Christmas, because God became Jesus Christ. He became a baby born in Nazareth. And his name was called Jesus of Nazareth. What I am saying is, when he stepped out of heaven, Jesus Christ became the visible expression of the invisible God. In other words, he became a visual aid, if you may, so that we would understand the nature of God the Father. He was like God in a suit of flesh. And when he came here on earth, he expressed himself in a language that we can understand. That is the only way man will understand God, by becoming a man himself. So when he said, the Word became flesh, he was announcing to the world that I have come. And if you think about that, if you ponder that for a moment, imagine the Almighty God move in a human heart. The love of God now beats in a human heart. The wisdom of God now spoke from human lips. And the mercy of God reached forth from the human heart. Again, I remember the story of a little girl, who was frightened at night, especially during a thunderstorm. She cried out to her daddy, And she said, "Help me, Daddy." And her daddy is in the next room, and he said, "Honey, God loves you, and he will take care of you." Then another bolt of lightning and a clap of thunder caused the girl to cry out again, "Daddy, Daddy." And her daddy gave her the same response, "Honey, God loves you, and he will take care of you." And the storm raged again, and the frightened girl yelled again, and her daddy's response was the same. But the girl replied, "Daddy, I know that God loves me, but right now I need someone with skin on." And that is exactly what God did 2,000 years ago. Jesus stepped out of heaven. Though he was God, he put that skin on. He became a man in human flesh so that he can take care of each and every one of us, so that he can meet our every need, whatever it is. He paid for all those needs. He paid for all those pain. He paid for all those things that you need in your life. And that is what happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus became human. And that is the first reality. Now, what's the second reality? The second reality is Jesus lived among us. You know, the next phrase in John 1:14 reveals what God did while here on earth. The Bible says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." You know, I look at the message by Eugene Peterson, one of the paraphrase, and this is what the message says in John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I like that. You know, the word "dwell" means to pitch a tent, or in military it calls to bivouac, or theologians define it as to tabernacle. Actually, what it is saying is, when Jesus came into this world, he pitched a tent among us. He dwelt in the world and moved into our neighborhood. For 33 years, God moved into our cul-de-sac. Amen? He walked down on our street. He stepped out of heaven, and Jesus lived among us. And if you ask why did Jesus become a man and dwelt among us? Why did he pitch a tent among us? Well, God wants to be on familiar terms with us. In other words, he wants to be close to you. He wants to be close to you so that you can have an interaction with him. You know, if you come to a community and build a huge mansion with a wall around it, people will probably think you don't want to be bothered by your neighbors. Especially if you have large walls around your house. People around you will think like, "Oh, this guy don't want to be my neighbor." But this is not what God did. He became man, so that he can pitch his tent in your backyard and my backyard. Because when someone pitch a tent in your backyard, he will probably use your bathroom, eat at your table, play with your kids, because he lives there in your neighborhood. And that is what Jesus did. And that is the reason why God became human. He came to pitch a tent in our human backyard so that he would have a lot of dealing with us. Amen. You see how special you are? Amen. You see how God really loves you so much? He became a human being. He pitched a tent in our neighborhood so that he will understand, he can understand what you are going through in your life. Amen. So Jesus became human, but he did not stop there. He lived among us. And now the third reality. Jesus revealed his glory. If I continue reading John 1:14, he says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." And in the message, it says, "We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of kind glory, like Father, like Son." You know, when John says, "We have seen his glory," the word that he used for the word "see" is the word "gaze intently upon," or to study as in a laboratory. And it's a word where we get the word theater. You know, watch, see clearly, see intently. That is what the word "see" means in the scripture. And the word "glory" is actually refers to the visible representation or manifestation of God's presence and power. So what the scripture is saying is when Jesus stepped out of heaven, he walked on earth so people can see, gaze upon, and understand God's presence. Because God's presence was shining through Jesus Christ. No, so Jesus, when he came here on earth, he was not invisible. He was not invisible, nor was he obscure. It means that when you look at Jesus, when you see Jesus, you see the face of God. When you hear Jesus, you hear God speaks. And when you come to experience Jesus, you experience God. That's what the scripture is saying. So Jesus became human. He lived among us. And he revealed his glory. Now the fourth reality. And this is where we can relate much more. Jesus invites us to himself. He invites each and every one of you to himself. And then the final word in the phrase that we read says this. Next slide. Jesus came to earth, he says, full of grace and truth. In the message, he says, he was generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So when Jesus stepped out of heaven, Jesus offered two things to us. He offered grace and truth. And we know what grace means. Grace is unmerited favor. Jesus gave us what we do not deserve. When he offered grace, he's saying, just come to me as you are, come as you are. You don't have to deserve anything because I gave you grace. Grace is something that we don't deserve. And God gave us that grace through Jesus Christ. And not only grace, he gave us the truth. Truth.
Well, truth means that Jesus is so determined, so consistent, so predictable, and thereby trustworthy in dealing with mankind. So he offered us both grace and truth. You know, grace without truth is seen as sentimentality. Well, truth without grace is rigidity. And these two words, truth and grace, explains why Jesus stepped out of heaven. And because Jesus was full of grace, he died for you and me while we were yet sinners. And because he was full of truth, he was able to pay for your sins and for my sins completely. And that's the good news for all of us. Just like what I said earlier, because he is full of grace, we can just come to him as just as we are. And because he is full of truth, we can come to him in complete confidence, knowing that he will keep his promise, just as he promised he will do, because he says it and he means it. Because he is not only graceful, but he is truthful. And I believe this is what the world needs today. The gift of grace and the gift of truth. Now my question, last question is, what are the implications of this? If Jesus became human, if he lived among us, if he revealed God's glory and invites all of us to come to him, what are the implications of all of this? Let me give you at least five implications of these four realities that we just look at today. The first reality is Jesus is here. He is present here. He is in the midst of all of us today. In the midst of chaos and confusion, Jesus had already announced God is here, he is present. Because he came to this world to save us from all our sins, to save us from loneliness, from pain, from all the things that have gone mad in the world. You know, the world is looking for a Savior. And they can only find that Savior through Jesus Christ. He is here today to meet your needs. He's not only here, he is real. You know, the word truth in John 1:14 means open to beauty, unconcealed, transparent. In the Moba translation of the Bible, the word truth is translated as reality. In other words, Jesus was full of grace and reality. And what does the scripture say? Jesus was real. The most real person that have ever lived in this world. And he showed us what God is like. He's not a myth, but he's a person. He's not a figment of someone's imagination, but the living presence of God. He was not an idea of God. He is not a picture of God, but he is God himself. Came in human form. In other words, he was real. He became a person. Jesus is not only here, he's not only real, he's not only present, he wants to be involved in your life. Aren't you glad that Jesus wants to be involved in your life? Jesus is not like your distant relative that you see every couple of years. Is here, is present, is right now present in your life, and he wants to take residence in your life He wants to be the go-to person in your life. He wants to be engaged and involved in every detail of your life. All you need to do is to invite him to come in your house, to come in your life. Because when Jesus became a man, God came down here, living in your means, in my means. He's present. He's real. He's here in our midst today. And not only that, he identifies with your pain. You know, when Jesus became a man, he identified with our pain, whatever it is. If you are feeling lonely, he can feel it. If you were hurt and rejected, he felt it. When you are sad because your loved one died or sick or whatever happened, he felt it. When you are a victim of a mental or physical abuse, he felt it. Or whatever you are going through in your life right now, he understood everything that happens in your life, and he identifies with our pain, with our hurt, with our needs, whatever it is that's going through in your life. And you know what Jesus offered to us? What he offers to us every day? He offers his grace. Amen? He offers his grace. In other words, the one gift that we all need in all eternity can be found in only one source. And that source is Jesus Christ himself. My friends, my brothers and sisters, Jesus stepped out of heaven and he comes to you. He comes for you. And he brings with him the amazing gifts of grace and truth. My brothers and sisters, let me end in this story I heard about. You know, there were two young couple. She was 15 and the guy was 17 when they met. And all through high school they dated, and after high school they were married. 4 years later, she was standing in the kitchen with a pile of dirty dishes and two children at her feet and a pile of dirty diapers in the corner. Tears were streaming down her face, and looking back, she could never be quite sure why she made her decision, but she did. She took off her apron and walked out. She called that night, and her young husband answered the phone, and he was asking her, "Where are you? How are the children?" She asked, ignoring his question. "Well, if you mean how they are, they are fed, I put them to bed, and just wondering, what are you doing, and how are you?" And she hung up the phone that night, but it was not the last of the phone call. Now she could not bear it any longer, and she took their savings and hired a private detective to find her wife. And the detective reported and found that she was in Des Moines, Iowa. The young man borrowed the money from his in-laws, bought a ticket, and flew to Des Moines. And then after taking Uber from the airport to the hotel, he climbed the stairs to his wife's room on the third floor. He was trembling when he knocked on the door, and when his wife opened the door, he forgot his prepared speech and said, "I love you so much. Would you come home?" She fell apart in his arms, and they went home together. One evening, some weeks later, the children were in bed, and he and his wife were sitting in the living room before the fire. And he finally got up with enough courage to ask her the question, "Why wouldn't you come home? Why
I tell you over and over again, I love you and miss you, but you did not come home. And this is our answer. Because before, those were only words. But then, you came. Amen? Is that the same thing Jesus did? Before, this text were only words. But the words became flesh. Amen. He came for you. And He is here. He is real. He wants to be involved in your life. He identifies with your pain and He offers grace. My brothers and sisters, He offers to you the most wonderful gift of grace and truth. And He is not standing from a distance. He is here. He is personally reaching out to you. Will you come to Him? Let us pray. Lord, thank you that Jesus came to this world to become a man, live among us, and offer His grace and truth. Lord, whatever we are going through right now, whether that is a struggle against sin or a pain because of whatever happened in your life, Jesus came to remove that pain. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to save you from your sins. Jesus came to meet your needs, whatever it is. Because He came here in your neighborhood, in your backyard, so that He can personally meet your every need. Lord, thank you for that wonderful thing that you have done for each and every one of us. Though we will remember that every time we read the story behind the story. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the reason for that is because you love us so much. We ask this in